101.7 FM.
Thank you for tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Today's broadcast is a pre-recorded broadcast, so we will not be opening the phone lines. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for additional information on First Conservative Baptist Church and Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And together, let's face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Your call makes the difference in the show each day. We encourage you to call in. We'd love to hear your response, your questions, your comments. Someone said it on the basis on one occasion, I just want to get my 2 cents worth in. Well, you can put in a nickel's worth. That'll be all right. We'd love to hear from you. At the very start of the show, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me admonish you, remind you, encourage you to recognize that what we say on Let's Face the Issues, the positions that we take and the statements we make are based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We go by the truth book, John 8, 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the scripture, about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, we need to stand on truth. And when we look at issues each and every day, let me remind you, we view them through the prism of the Word of God. Someone said, what does that mean, looking through the prism? Let me explain that. If you've got small letters and something you're reading, use a magnifying glass, you're looking at those words through the prism of a magnifying glass, looking at the worldview. Look at what's happening locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally. View it from the standpoint of what does the Bible say. There's nothing taking place today that the Bible has not already identified what will happen, when it will happen, how it will take place. That may not have named a specific date, time, and place. That's not the relevant point. The point is from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. God's progressive revelation of himself to man and God's progressive revelation of his plans, past, present, and future for this old world. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God's already predetermined, in advance told us what's going to happen. So I like to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? It's the truth book. I go back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell was famous, as you know, for his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, most are not familiar with the fact that that was published in 1947, 48, and 49, entitled 1984. And it's amazing, some of the things, and I've not read the novel, it's amazing, though, with the blurbs that I've read, how close he was with making some statements. He said, in that dystopian novel entitled 1984, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true, if I could use the play on words, factually true even today. May I remind you that when we look at the events, we analyze the scripture. Let me just throw in a little paraphrase, Youngblood parenthetical footnote. When we look at what's happening in Iran, we need not wonder what the gameplay play may be. We should not wonder, will Iran be crushed? Will America win? Will we dominate Iran? Will Iran be wiped out? The answer is no. How can I say that so dogmatically? Because in Ezekiel 38:39, God's already pre-warned us in his written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word that Iran will be one of the five nations that followed the leadership of Russia into Israel to destroy the apple of God's eye. So therefore, we may quell the nuclear ambition of Iran. We may quiet the global move to have terrorists across the world, but we will not destroy Iran. Now, some say, well, I wish that weren't so. Well, I'm not God. God said it. That settles it. We see his word, and I embrace his word. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Here's a very pertinent, poignant statement DeMint made. He said, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that so true, and yet at the same time, reading the survey that says 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Here's the frightening thing to me. The millennial age group is the very age group, according to the recent Barna survey, that will make up the dominant voters in the 2028 presidential election. We're seeing the handwriting on the wall, if you want to use the phrase out of Daniel the fifth chapter. We're seeing the handwriting on the wall today with that age group made up of those that have prestigious credentials, i.e. academic credentials, those that have been trained by the Marxist communist professors in our universities, those that believe that Palestine should be free and Israel should be eviscerated. Those are the ones that will be the primary voters in 2028. We need to pray and ask for God's intervention, for God to turn our nation around before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a statement made by 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we seek the truth. By the way, you won't find that on the Communist Network News, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, etc. It's not there. In fact, occasionally you'll not even find it on Fox News. But we need to seek the truth. And the truth book is the Word of God. If we study the Word, the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the game plan today for the deliverance of the United States of America, as we said a moment in our broadcast today. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Good question. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole, a benchmark, an identifier. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is one that I believe is profoundly needed, perhaps as never before in my lifetime. The issue is in a question form. Is there a difference between the political and Christian? Let me restate that. Is there a difference between political issues and Christian issues? I can refine it even more. Is there a bifurcation between political issues and biblical issues that would be all right? Can we take the issues of the hour, the issues facing America today, can we boil them down and say, well, some's political and some's Christian? I'd love to hear from you if you think that. I'm not going to try to debate with you, but I'd love to hear from you. Name me some issues that you believe strictly political and has nothing to do with the Christian life or the morals, ethics, and values of our foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very clear when you look at the scripture as a whole that there's a problem with what we see happening today. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness, that's rightness before God, exalteth, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But, that's a transition, that's a contrast, but sin is a reproach. That means dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, we can take the totality of the scripture, and later in the broadcast, we're going to deal with some of the biblical characters, some of the most recognizable names, and how they dealt with political issues. Did they bifurcate it? Did they find there was a difference between the political, the moral, ethical, and the spiritual values? Did they say, well, no, that's political, I'm not going to touch it? Did the ones that were referred to in the Old Testament, not as Christians, they referred to as God-fearers? Did any of the God-fearers simply say, well, that's political, so I'm not going to have anything to do with it? Any of the God-fearers that we find that's name recognized that said, I'm not going to serve in the government because it conflicts with my belief system? Or did they take a stand within the government because of their belief system to impact the governmental system? Civil government, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the three institutions that God created. God created the home. God created government. God created the church, and in that order. So anything, ladies and gentlemen, that comes into focus that affects either of those areas is one and the same. And we need to stop bifurcating our lives. There are a lot of Christians today, unfortunately, that think that Christianity is simply something that you practice on Sunday. I've used the term, you ought to come to preach unless I'm saved. On Monday through Saturday, it's live however you want to. And unfortunately, we have devolved to that in America. Franklin Graham calls it progressive Christianity. Franklin Graham calls it woke Christianity. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Let me just hypothetically give you some issues that we need to think on as we deal with this issue today. We must be biblically educated, in my opinion, both in the pulpit and in the pew. Today, Christians have been made to believe that somehow, some way, if you're saved, if you're truly a Christian, if you truly love Jesus, you'll not become entangled, involved with the debate, the division, the debauchery that's found in what's called politics today. Is this a correct biblical view? Is this a worldview that we need to embrace as Christians? I'm asking a lot of questions. I'm wanting to generate your response. I'd love to hear from you on the question of today. Is there a division between the political and Christianity? Here is part of a statement from Franklin Graham. He says, the eternal peril of progressive Christianity. For decades, a war has been raging against biblical Christianity that goes under the seemingly innocent name progressive Christianity. It has cropped up in the halls of seminaries, infiltrated the pulpits of thousands of churches, and been propagated by godless liberal media. It is bent on casting doubt and undermining the fundamental foundational principles of God's Word. The advocates of progressive Christianity, they say they dutifully promote and proclaim, what I believe is clearly a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, Franklin Graham states, and I'm in agreement with that. Progressive Christianity is not the gospel at all. It has nothing to do with the gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It results in nothing but spiritual confusion and chaos. He says further, Scripture clearly says that marriage is between one man and one woman. But proponents of progressive Christianity twist and distort the truth of God's word on sexuality, focusing on such nonsensical trends as gender identity. They deny God's distinction of sexes and instead invent their own misguided standards, unguided by the word of God. So the real ultimate danger, I'm quoting from Franklin Graham, the real ultimate danger is that progressive Christianity sends people to hell. Finally, he says, biblical teachings on the precious blood of Christ, the sacrificial substitutionary atoning work of Christ's death on the cross, is often neglected and or distorted in woke progressive Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be an alarm sounded, and I'm sounding that alarm. As Ezekiel 33, after giving a whole litany of thoughts in relationship to what was happening in the world of that day, Ezekiel then says in the 10th verse, how should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, based on what we're saying today, how should we live? What should we do? Again, a quote, and a different quote from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham sounds the alarm. Christians are falling into Satan's trap. Franklin Graham believes understanding God's word is the key, hear me, is the key to comprehending what's happening in the world around us today. He warns that people who fail to understand the word of God are prey to spiritual attacks. Quote, if you don't know God's word, you're not going to recognize spiritual warfare, he said. You'll just succumb to the attacks of the devil and not even be aware that you're being attacked. Let me stop at that point, put a little young blood footnote. If you don't know the word of God, you're going to listen to and follow what would be called progressive woke lifestyle. You're going to embrace immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyles and actions. And that ties into the question of political and of Christianity and the morals and ethics of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say now, and I'll say again over and over in the course of this broadcast today and in the future broadcast between now and the midterm election, I think it's time Christians stop being silent. I think we need to say silent no more. I think Christians need to stand up, speak up, be verbal, visible, and valiant in our stand against immoral, ungodly, unholy candidates going into office. Those that will erode, eviscerate, destroy, undermine, and tear down the Christian foundations in America. And yeah, I know. A lot of folks will say, well, we're not a Christian nation. We were never a Christian nation. There's a Greek word for that. I call it horse feathers. That is not so at all. You can go back to all of our founding fathers and our founding documents, and you will find a reference to God, a reference to the one that is sovereign, a reference to the one that created us, a reference to the one that created the world, etc., etc., speaking of nothing less and nothing more than simply biblical Christianity. Franklin Graham's article continues, and he made this statement. Graham said this is particularly problematic for Christians whom Satan seeks to go after. The devil is wanting to trap every believer, every Christian, and if he can just get them into apathy, what is apathy? Saying, I'm not going to vote, my vote doesn't count. Saying, I'm not going to church, I don't need to go to church. I know John 3:16 and five languages. I don't need to go to the church house. There are those that will say that. That's apathy. Where just they think of a don't care attitude. He said, we have to know the word of God. We have to study, and the devil is a deceiver, and he deceives Christians every day. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the bastion of that decay, that disbelief, and that deception that's taking place by satanic demonic forces today. We're wrestling with a battle, and that battle is not against the political agenda. That battle is not against the progressives. That battle is not against Islamics. That battle is not against the left called the Democrats. That battle is not against the Republicans. That battle is a demonic battle. We wrestle against that which is not flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places, paraphrasing Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. And as a result of that, we need to be armored up. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what the battle is all about. So let's just think about it for a moment. I'll set the stage, and then we'll take our callers. Let's just set the stage. Let's think about, why is it necessary to vet a candidate? Why is it necessary for Christians, so many of them, perhaps you're listening today, saying, well, I'm not getting involved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let Jesus handle it all. I'm going to just talk about Jesus. I'm going to win people to Jesus. All of that's good, but that's part of the gospel. The totality of the good news is our stand to preserve the moral, ethical, Christian foundations that God has given us as a nation. Let's just think for a moment some examples of what I would call biblical, ethical, moral values that ought to be viewed on a broader sense. For example, the Bible says that abortion is murder. The Bible warns, thou shalt not kill. And yet we have many of the candidates today that believe that it's all right to have abortion. It's a woman's right. It is called women's health care. That's a lie. That's deception. That's from satanic demonic forces. And Gavin Newsom in California and two or three other states just recently, Minnesota including, have made laws, passed legislation that says, for example, that a baby can be born, and if there was a desire for an abortion and the baby is still birthed, that baby can live up to 28 days and the parents can still instruct the physicians to take that child's life. That's murder. So the question is, does that intersect with the political process? Should Christians view that as simply a political issue? Most do. This is the reason today we have, ladies and gentlemen, while Roe versus Wade 50 years was in effect, about 73 million human beings were eviscerated, wiped out, destroyed in the mother's womb. We have state after state after state after state now that's passing liberal legislation to allow the murder by way of abortion to continue. So when we vet candidates, some of the first things I ask a candidate, where do you stand on abortion? Is it murder? And then vet the candidate. Has he always taken that stand? Has the stand been changed? And is it something over the next few days, few weeks, few months when he decided to run for office on a particular candidacy? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to ask the question, what about homosexuality? Vetting the candidates. We're coming up to the November 3rd, 2026 election, which I believe is the point of destiny for America. I believe the 2026 midterm election will determine the destiny of America, whether it will be a socialist, Marxist, communist dictator nation, or whether or not we'll have a constitutional republic that can survive the Islamic jihadist invasion and the illegals crossing the border invasion and those that are standing, ladies and gentlemen, for the communist, Marxist agenda and the Islamic agenda. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Hello, hello. Yeah, hello.
Hello. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah. In regards to that, should Christians be involved with this? I tell you, I understand that we've been taught, we said that the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And then they will link that to the scripture that says you cannot serve mammon and God. It's not speaking about money. It's talking about the political environment that our government is placed on today. Either you're going to be with the government or either you're going to be with God. And I'd like to get your take on that.
Brother, you're exactly right. It is par for the course where we have that mindset coming out of multitudes today. There are those who will have the mindset. Well, in fact, Brother Davis, let me just say this. Recently, I listened to a politician when he was being interviewed. He said, my personal beliefs, my moral, ethical, quote, Christian beliefs do not intersect with what I need to do from a political standpoint. They're two separate things, he said. And I laughed at, mocked at, and mocked him by way of the television and what he was saying. There's no such thing. You're exactly right. There's no bifurcation. There's no division. What we say, what we do, and how we act from the standpoint of politics is a shadow of what we are like in our hearts as a Christian and vice versa. So there's no such thing as bifurcating it. There must be. And Brother Davis, with the election about 65-68 days away, we need to understand that this election will determine the destiny of America. And in 2016, 40 million Christians didn't vote. 2020, 32 million Christians didn't vote. I don't know how many didn't vote in 2024, but I know this recent midterm, not midterm, but the primary elections we had in the state of Florida, here in Duval County and in the state, was abysmal. It did not show any interest majorly from the Christians, the conservatives, to stand up and vote. I am vitally concerned about where we're going. You're exactly right. We need to take a stand as Christians, and that stand ought to be with a central biblicist worldview. And I coined that term about 30 years ago. I've not heard any, not read behind any source that's written it or said it. I coined the term. We need to have a central biblicist viewpoint in the world that is looking at everything with what the Bible says. The Bible says abortion is murder, so we need to say no to any candidate that stands for murder. The Bible says the homosexuality, the sodomite lifestyle, that in Genesis 18 and 19, God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the towns round about because of it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, that it is a detestable act, that God hates that act, and has cast them out to a reprobate mind. The Word of God is very clear. Brother Davis, and you and I stand on the same mountain, if you please, screaming to the world, this is what the Bible says, and it should, trickle down into how we vote in the election time. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. And it's time Christians realize that this world, the way it moves in the political realm of this world, then, that's what's going to destroy us, I'm telling you. And you're right. If we don't get right in this election coming up, we can kiss our independence goodbye at what we have in Jesus.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. It deserves our attention. It deserves our prayer. It deserves our asking God to intervene. And as Nehemiah told his workers when they were being threatened, intimidated, and the attempt to destroy what God was doing through the workers, Nehemiah said to his workers, our God shall fight for us. And that should Amen. Be the mantra, the mindset that we take to heart for every Christian. We take a stand. We do what is biblical. We take the arrows if necessary, and we stand for truth. We put on the whole armor of God and stand and do the battle. And according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, having done all, that's putting on all the garments, all the armament, having done all, stand. That means you dig in your heels. You don't run. You don't sit down. You don't get out of the game. You go forward facing the enemy to do battle. And Brother Davis, it's my prayer that people listening today will be willing to put on that whole armor of God and stand and do battle for these last days that we're in. Thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you. We need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of what happens when Christianity is debased, when Christians' morals, ethics, and values are put aside. Court cancels city's use of a patron saint of police because image is affiliated with Christianity. Officials in Quincy, Massachusetts built bronze statues of St. Michael the Archangel and St. Florian to place outside the public safety building for police and firefighters as they capture something ordinary civic plaques cannot show. Courage to run toward the danger and from it, not from it. Patrons of those professions have invoked this for centuries, but that cannot be used, the city says, because according to a decision by the state Supreme Court, that's the state of Massachusetts, it is pointing to Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching across our nation Christianity being prosecuted, persecuted, eviscerated, marginalized, and demeaned, and Christians are voting continually, putting people back in office that will continue to do what we've seen in the past. I believe it's time we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I think it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots recognize we're on the verge of losing our constitutional republic. And ladies and gentlemen, if our constitutional republic is lost, it'll never, ever, ever be regained. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to understand, is there a division between the political and Christianity? No. God's word is the final say-so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful this that you've tuned in today. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY.